Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And today is our last day of a discussion that I had with Bishop Bob McClory of Gary, Indiana, on the book of Ephesians. And today we dive into what it really means to know Christ, how the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. Enjoy.
I love like the intimacy and the depth of this that Paul's saying. He's like, I'm praying for you, and I pray that you would know him. You know, like this is his first thing that he says. You know, he's saying all these things about their identity, and then he's like, this is my prayer for you. The first thing that I really pray is that the Spirit of God would come upon you and reveal Jesus. And we were just talking about, you know, the role of the Holy Spirit in revealing Jesus to us. And I was talking about when the Holy Spirit was stirred up in my heart, you know, when I received more of the Holy Spirit in my life, and how, yes, I was hungry for God's word and I received zeal and all this kind of stuff, but I saw Jesus differently. You know, it was like there was this experience that the eyes of my heart were open, they were enlightened. And I don't know, Bishop, have you ever experienced something like that, or even just the role of the Holy Spirit in revealing Jesus to you in your life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I was raised in a very devout Catholic family. You know, mom and dad were incredible witnesses. I'm the youngest of four kids. And so for me, I don't think there was ever a time where, like, I kind of rejected God or something like that. But I definitely think there was a time that I transitioned, and it was really in my kind of later high school years where suddenly I realized that, like, everything my parents had told me that I was raised in, that it was true. And if it's true, like, the implications of that are extraordinary.
Yeah.
And it would, through the Holy Spirit, particularly, you know, I was active in a very vibrant youth group and with my family, with my parents, really praying that what I had received in confirmation, what I received in baptism, that is the Holy Spirit, would be alive in my life. So I did have that encounter with the Holy Spirit in a different way, with people praying with me that I would have a deeper experience of the Holy Spirit and kind of tapping into what the Lord had given me absolutely without question in the sacraments, but having that be even more real in my life. Mm-hmm. And to realize, you know, that relationship with Christ just changes everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think if we're praying for people, there are specific needs, but there's no deeper need than to come to a deeper knowledge and love and encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we pray for, I don't say secondary things and that they're not important, but, you know, we can pray that somebody's marriage will be healed, or we can pray that someone will be relieved of illness, or we can pray, you know, that someone will get the job that they're supposed to have, or whatever.
Yeah,
but
the
primary is to pray that they would come to know and love Jesus. And so if you have that encounter with him, and you ask the Holy Spirit to infuse you, then the rest takes on a different meaning in light of that. So somebody could get a great job, but if they still don't know Jesus, like, there's a gap.
Exactly.
And so, like, this is first things first. And St. Paul is primarily praying, you know, that they would be given that revelation and knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Because he builds on it, right? He's like, you're saying, this is the foundation. Then he's saying, Paul always has, like, world's longest run on sentences. You know, he builds and he goes and he goes, and you're like, I don't know if this is grammatically, but it's okay, you know. But I want to get to those three things, and maybe you could speak on these three things, Bishop, because he builds with these beautiful three things. He says, I pray that you have a revelation of the person of Jesus, a deeper revelation, that you would know him. And then he says three things, that you would know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of his power. And so he's saying, like, that you would know Jesus, and then these are the things that you have access to in him. You know, so just speak on those a little bit of what's the Holy Spirit stirring in your heart as you hear that. First, that the hope to which we've been called. What is that hope to which we've been called?
Well, of course, it's an ultimate destiny of eternal life with Christ and the saints. That is extraordinary in a vision towards that ultimate fulfillment.
Yeah.
But our lives are not just, you know, kind of hold on, you know, grit your teeth and hope you make it to
get
to heaven. I mean, that's the ultimate destiny. And so I don't want to diminish that. But it's not just a hope for life eternal that is to come, but, you know, really, and Ephesians is so beautiful in this, it's that we have this experience right now of God entering into our lives through Jesus Christ. And I'm literally looking out at the waters as we see this, but, you know, one of the symbols of hope is an anchor. that it is something that roots you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that hope is not optimism, mm-hmm. it's not just positive thinking, but hope is rooted in what Christ has done for us, and so we can say, I have certainty about that destiny as I hold on to the anchor who is Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love the catechism, because we just wrapped up the Year of Hope, and how the catechism talks about hope is the desire for the kingdom of God as the source of my happiness.
Yeah.
You know, and really like that anchor of being like, actually the circumstances, you know, the waves are a little choppy today, mm-hmm. out on the boat, I'm feeling it a little bit, you know, but in our lives, you know, sometimes it's that choppiness, but that anchor to say, actually my anchor is I'm going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and this, and I'm actually grabbing hold of that now. That's why it's anchoring me. I have some access to that now.
Yes.
To live in a little bit, and that we talked about that the other day, living in this heavenly reality, and my desire for that kingdom, mm-hmm. that came with Jesus to the kingdom of earth anchors me, you know.
No, it's beautiful. And I think, you know, the connection, you know, going back to kind of the prior passage of thanksgiving, prayers, and hope, is that we can also reflect on what the Lord has done for us, mm. the ways that we can remember how he has been with us in difficult times, in yeah. situations that I thought were kind of intractable. And I can think of a few of them in my life. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this.
Right.
But you do, and that gives you kind of the seeds, more than the seeds, but a certain confidence that the Lord is there. So it's both thanks for what the Lord has done, and he's doing mm-hmm. in other people, and then that gives you a further confidence as to what he will do, even if right now things are kind of tough.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's so good. And let's go, Bishop, maybe
yes.
can you speak on inheritance and power, glorious inheritance in the saints and immeasurable power. I mean, we could take 3 days to speak on both of these, but
no, I mean, it's unbelievable that the promises that the Lord has given us, when we think about, sometimes we talk about the spirit of adoption, you know, elsewhere mm-hmm. in the scriptures, that there is a change in the mass. There's this word, it's kind of odd as a presider to say it, because it's co-heirs. It's kind of, we say this regularly in one of the Eucharistic prayers, mm-hmm. and that we are co-heirs with Christ.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That, you know, I mean, if somebody, you know, I'm looking out of the waters right now, you think about those, you know, the incredible power of the witness of so many in the faith. I think about those, for example, many who referred to as the boat people from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just sort of on the waters themselves. Many of them very, very faithful Catholics who were, I don't want to get into all the nuances of, you know, all the details of that. But I mean, if you think about some people who are just out on the sea with ramshackle boats, mm. hoping to make it someplace.
Yeah.
And if some beautiful yacht pulled up and said, you're my long lost children, come on board.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. look at what I'm giving you. This uh-huh. is your inheritance.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have plentiful food and you're going to have beautiful clothing. And you're like, suddenly it's like if the greatest billionaire in the world like adopted you. I mean, this is purely in a material sense, but that like we have an inheritance that far exceeds that. You know, that we can just be adrift and hopeless, but the Lord says, I have blessings to give you in this life and beyond. And so, I mean, ultimately it is, you know, our eternal destiny, but that we can have hope and we can have vibrancy and we can have a knowledge of the Lord's joy and peace for us. And then, you know, the greatness that the Lord intends for us is his power in us who believe, so that we have access to the Holy Spirit, to Christ himself, that can, you know, propel us forward. And mm-hmm. this is, like I said, it's an extraordinary vision that St. Paul is giving us, but this is what Christ has done and God intends to do for us now.
Yeah, it really is amazing. This is why I love digging in, like, sentence by sentence to God's Word. And in so many writings of St. Paul, is as we go through this, there's a revelation of Jesus, you know, that he prays mm-hmm. for. And as we get the revelation of Jesus, we also get a revelation of who we are in mm-hmm. Christ, which is unbelievable. Like, the things that you're saying, you know, so casually, you know, about mm-hmm. how we're, our inheritance in Christ, all these different things, we become so used to these truths that we're like, yeah, I have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, you know, and we just kind of like off the cuff. And it's unbelievable, you know, really. And I think the Lord, as we read it, and I think this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit has done in me, is to continue to place a wonder and awe of being like, what does this mean for me today on this ship as I go through my day, as I'm encountering others, as I'm sitting here, as I'm celebrating, you know, being a bishop for 6 years, all of these different things. What does this mean for me that I have hope, that I have inheritance, and I have a measurable power? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. What does that actually now mean for my life? You know, and how do we walk in that?
Well, and I think it comes down to our identity in Christ Jesus, that we are beloved sons and daughters. we have this inheritance, mm-hmm. so we're beloved sons and daughters of a loving Father. I had a priest one time who was very, a friend of mine, a pastor who was very kind of taken by this notion of our true identity, and he's very creative, and so he actually put together a little brochure, he put it in the back of the church and said, are you a victim of identity theft? And like, the T was a cross, and it was all about not like, has somebody stolen your digital identity or gotten access to your credit cards or something? And he thought it was very clever. He said, well, yeah, people really thought it was just this, like, you know, how to preserve your, you know, protect your physical identity in terms of monetary instruments and so on. But it was very true that, you know, we're victims of identity theft in the sense that we don't know our identity. And this can be true at any age. It's particularly true of young people.
Yes.
They're coming to understand their identity, and they allow others to define them mm-hmm. without really saying, no, I'm a beloved son. I'm a beloved daughter of a loving Father. And I have that inheritance given to me in mm-hmm. Christ. And so don't live according to the world's terms as to who you are, but live according to what has been revealed to us, mm-hmm. Particularly by God's word in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That is so, I love how you said at any age, because that's really the journey of the Christian life, you know, mm-hmm. of constantly every day coming into that deeper agreement with this is, Jesus, this is who you are. This is who you say I am.
Yeah.
You know, like this is, even my dad's 67, he always, every day, he's speaking to himself God's word of, you know, I'm a beloved son of God. This is who I am in Christ. You know, every day that journey of saying, yeah, this is my identity. Yeah. And we were talking about resting in that yesterday. I can rest in that. I can live from that, you know.
Yes. And that, you know, there's an individual expression of that to all of us as believers. But as St. Paul will get to even later in Ephesians, there is really a communitarian sense of that.
Mm.
And it is hard if you don't have brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you don't have, I mean, I think, you know, obviously the Mass is incredible and we need to gather together for that. We're called to do it as Catholics on Sundays, but it needs to be a fuller expression of that. So even something like this cruise, I mean, which is wonderful,
right.
There is a way that we're encouraging each other and that the Lord calls us together in this unity. St. Paul gets that a little bit later in Ephesians. So it's an individual experience, but there's a communitarian experience to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And being around brothers and sisters who can reinforce that identity, who can remind us who we really are, is the pathway to an incredible life.
Yeah, that's such a great, I mean, there's so much more we can dig into here, and we got some good stuff. So I encourage you, go take some of the things that the Lord's speaking to us here and go in your own personal prayer time as you go to Mass, as you go, Jesus is in the tabernacle, he was exposed in adoration this morning, and just say, Holy Spirit, continue to speak to me. One of the things, you know, I just mentioned my dad. One of the things he always taught me through a preacher he learned it from was just as he's reading God's word, and if there's anything that stuck out here, just to, before the Lord, put your hand on your heart and say, Holy Spirit, thank you. Tell me more. Bishop, can you just give us a very quick blessing? Because we got some people going live on air here in a few
minutes.
So they're like, wrap it up.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, may your blessing pour out upon all those who are here present, live, as we are reflecting on God's word. And those who will hear this subsequently, that you would enlighten their hearts, that you would meet their needs, that you would let them know their beloved sons and daughters of a loving Father. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends. That was our last episode with Bishop Bob McClory. Join us tomorrow as we continue in the book of Ephesians. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.